Shoes. Recorded live.
All right, welcome everybody to our phone conference. We're going to get started tonight. We're going to look a little bit at the First Continental Congress. You know, as everyone that comes to this room or listens to our programs or is looking at our website, they have come to realize that this country is in a real serious situation here. We have, the most important problem we have is the crisis, constitutional crisis. And the government is just way out of touch, way out of control, or they are the enemy themselves. And I'm not talking about our government. I'm talking about the people running our government. We do have some decent people in there, but even with them being decent, they're ignorant, unfortunately. Some of the good people I know are ignorant. And I speak to myself first also. I was ignorant and come to realize that if we don't look to see and understand what freedom really is and understand our judicial and our political process, all is absolutely lost. It is, Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. You must have power, and there are three forms of power. One, the most important form of power is spiritual power, and that's your relationship with God. That's personal. You need to go to your prayer closets and work that out with Him. The next most important power that people need to have in order to control their destiny is political power. And if you don't have political power, then we have no control or no say on our destiny. And please don't get political power confused with politics. I abhor politics. I don't get involved in politics. Politics is the destruction of our country. George Washington talked about the difference between political power and politics, and he said that the politics will be the demise of our country if we don't get rid of it. We have come to a point in America, either we get rid of it or we lose it. We're about to lose our country. And the third power is judicial power, justice. If we don't control our judicial system and bring it back to justice, then again, we can have no relationship with God whatsoever. Justice or the judicial process is the action, or it represents our relationship with God. And I can tell you firsthand that the judicial process that we have working in this country is in shambles. We have ignorant people that do not know the law. They don't understand what law is. They think that statutes are law, and they're totally destroying us. Now, we have faith in God that He's going to pull us through this, because without that faith, I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, all is lost. We're hoping and waiting on God, to be before that right judge that will allow the common law process to go forward and won't resist, waiting for that right decision that could open that political power door open to us so that we can go in and take political power. And we, the people, have got to stand up and take it. But we first must become educated. If we expect to be ignorant and free, we expect what never was and never will be. This is the message that that we with New York Committeemen are bringing to the people. We have it all over our website. People have to be empowered, and they have to understand what freedom, or shall I say liberty, really is. So with that, we've been teaching for quite some time. We're going through the years before, and I think we're like 5 years into the political power process, and we've come to a pretty good understanding of the problems, our political problems, and how to solve them. And there is an Achilles heel. It's a very simple process to take control, but we have to get through the courts with this. And realizing that, we embarked on understanding the judicial process here in our country, and we've come to understand what common law is in the court of record, what the difference is between law and statutes. And so now we've been teaching that now for, well, we got started in this in 2011, which was our first court case. And I think by 2012, we had a reasonably good grip on understanding the judicial process. And I think by midway through 2012, right around the time we had our statewide conference of committeemen, I think by that point, we were really coming into a good understanding of common law. And from that point, we've really been escalating quite quickly. So anyway, we've been teaching that. This is what people have got to learn. It's not difficult. We've been moving very quickly through it, and so can anyone else who wants to put their time into it. We suggest an hour a day at bare minimum, or 5 hours on a Saturday, however you want to work it, and 1 hour a week, maybe two, on the conference calls. Because this is the place where, as you're looking at our website and studying the things that we offer, that you can come and ask your questions and we can grow together. We're establishing groups throughout the state for the purpose, of course, the committee man, the political power and the political process, of course, but also for the judicial process. And so we do have a few satellite groups. We have another new group opening out west, potentially down in a place called Chautauqua, maybe. And hopefully I get a call from someone out there this week, and they're going to be trying to connect with Erie and County and Niagara County, and they might be able to tie together, you know, six or seven counties out there and start getting justice going there. We've been working the process up here in the Hudson Valley here in Dutchess County, Greene County, and Columbia County, and we do want to push that out into Ulster and down into Orange and Putnam and Sullivan and across over to Sullivan. And we're working in other areas. Hopefully more people will get involved and start study groups and start dealing with the judicial problems and start fighting the court system on the smaller issues, you know, traffic tickets, traffic violations, and other minor infractions and statutes. And we teach how to go through that process and win it. But now we've recently come to realize that there's power in lifting up this coming to Congress that took place in 2009. And unfortunately, a lot of people out there never even heard of the Continental Congress 2009. And unfortunately, we are so dumbed down, and I speak to myself first, we're so dumbed down. Our school system is in shambles. It's even worse than when we were children and going to school. But it was pretty bad when we went. They've really brought us under the control and made us all morons. We go to seek out priests to find God. We seek out lawyers to find justice. And we seek out party bosses to find political power. And all of that is control. And so not only have they dumbed us down, they've got us to think that democracy is what we are. We're not a democracy. We are a republic. Huge difference. They tell us that the United States is a country. It's not a country. It's a nation. A huge, huge difference. They tell us we're U.S. citizens. Nations don't have citizens. A huge difference. The 14th Amendment was a problem, and we'll open that up for a discussion on another day. But in any event, we have huge, huge problems. And now with this gun issue, it seems that a large part of our population is waking up, the people with guns. You know, a lot of these people, they haven't been given thought to the problems that we have. They may not even be realizing that there is a constitutional crisis and a monetary crisis and just a list of other crises. They're not aware of that. But they're trying to take their guns, and they don't like that. And so they're reaching out, and they're coming to the rallies, and we have the opportunity to talk to these people, rub shoulders, and teach them some things that we know. And they're starting to wake up little by little. So this is an opportunity to bring in a whole new group of people and to get them interested into doing something. And they do seem to be with an attitude to really try to do something. So we'll see if we can't incorporate on that. But the other thing is this Continental Congress. If we can bring the Continental Congress to the surface and the gun people and even the people in the Liberty Group who don't even know about this, the Liberty Movement that's been around for years, they don't even know about this. And so if we could bring this to consciousness and start getting this out to the general public, if you tie this Continental Congress of 2009 and what's called the Articles of Freedom, which is the conclusion of the matter on how to solve our problems in America, if you tie that together with this gun issue and we get it out to the people and people realize that a Continental Congress met in 2009 and they have not been informed by their government, they have not been informed by their media, the government has not responded to the commands of the people, the elected Continental Congress. Unfortunately, some people think the Continental Congress has something to do with the Constitutional Convention. And I did get something on one of the meetup groups, and I had to go out and correct that to explain that this is not a constitutional convention. As a matter of fact, the Continental Congress is over. They can be pulled together to meet for the next, because they came together under emergency call. So bear in mind, this was an emergency call to the Continental Congress in 2009. And the people were elected in 48 of the 50 states, or 58 if you with Barack, yeah. But 48 of the 50 states. And I just found out today that I thought there were 73 people. There was over 140 people that went to that Continental Congress. There was two people elected for every state, and a third person, I believe, was elected as a backup in case something happened to one of the other ones, that they had to leave or they couldn't make it or whatever the case may be. So we did have a full Continental Congress with a minimum of two people from each state that went out to this. This was in St. Louis, Missouri, I believe it was. And they met for 10 days in 2009, and they ended up with the Articles of Freedom. And so just for some quick background on the Continental Congress, the first Continental Congress met September 5th to the 25th of September 5th to the 25th of October. And they got together basically to discuss the problems they were having with England, the king, and they tried to create some solutions. They came up with some ideas, and they agreed to meet within a year if things didn't go well, and things didn't go well. So they came back. This would be now the second Continental Congress. And the second Continental Congress met on May 10th, 1775 in Philadelphia. And at that time, the Battle of Lexington and Concord had already begun in April, while the delegates were still making their way to Philadelphia. So they did not disperse until I believe it was 1789. I think it was. What happened is they came up with the Declaration of Independence. Which we have dated as July 4th, 1776. They then maintained control of the country for the next so many years until the Constitution was put forth and a government was elected. Until that took place, the Continental Congress ruled as the governing body of the United States, as birthed by the Declaration of Independence. Then they shut down after the government took over. They elected a president from within the Continental Congress every year for the duration of that time, and then they shut down. Now, the Continental Congress was called back in an emergency session in 2009, and again, people don't know about this. I was involved in running an election polling place here in Poughkeepsie, New York. And so I was involved with some of this process. For those of us who know John Wallace, he was one of the delegates that went to the Continental Congress. Robert Schultz was a delegate who went to the Continental Congress. I don't know who the third one is out of New York. We did have three delegates that went to the Continental Congress. And so anyway, that Continental Congress, we elected them throughout the states. And I remember calling all the media. We had a program on how to run the process, how to run the election, how to document it. And, you know, I have all the documentations for this area, and others who ran polling places, they have their documentations for those areas. And we videotaped things and the counting of the vote and so on. But in any event, in this process, I had called all the news medias in the area, Dutchess County, and particularly focusing in Orange, Dutchess, and Ulster, and I got no response. I'm not aware of any newspaper that reported. I'm not aware of any TV station that ran it. I'm not aware of any radio station that talked about it, and nobody came down to interview us. No reporters came to the polling place. And just the people, through the word of mouth, mostly through the Internet, got word on that and came to vote. And that's pretty sad that we are so blacked out that people don't realize how serious this is. But this whole system was blacked out. In April 19th, I believe it was, of 2010, in every state, all 50 states, the delegates of their states, the other two states, I'm not sure how they worked that out, but the delegates of their states met in their capital precisely, I think it was noontime or 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I don't know what time it was, but at a precise time in their capital with other people, and they came with banners, flags, and they had a sort of a parade right in to see the governor, the Senate, and the Assembly. And they served upon them the Articles of Freedom, which was 63 pages, and it gave them their orders on what the people expect for them to do to correct our problems. So in all 50 states of the Union at the same time throughout the entire country and in Washington, D.C., this ceremony was taking place in all of our governments, both federal and states. And we were ignored. They have not responded. We realized this a couple of weeks ago that we didn't add this into our case. And it came to mind, why didn't we add the Continental Congress into our case? So we wrote an addendum to our action at law, and we filed that last week sometime. I think it was last Monday. And we filed that, and we attached to that the Articles of Freedom. And we focused in on the orders to the state from the people, the highest form of government, second only to God. And that's what people have to understand. The Continental Congress is second only to God. It is above our government, federal government. It is above our state government. It is above our judicial system, the highest court in the land. It's above all things. It is the people, the kings, the people speaking through an elected body for the sole purpose under an emergency situation to correct the problems. And we were ignored. Well, we wrote this into our case, and we put down precisely and exactly what the Continental Congress said concerning gun control in any state, and that they are to eliminate and do away with any law that controls or counts or registers any guns or ammunition, and it is to be immediate. And we put it into our case, and we hinted to the judge that should he rule against us or try to block us in any way, we're going in as a court of record, and that's a battle on its own, but should they try to block us in any way, they too are guilty of treason. We are not going into the court with a, challenging a constitutional challenge. We received a letter from the other side, and they attached to it their paperwork to the court, which said that we were challenging, making a constitutional challenge. And I answered that with another letter and said, absolutely not. We are not making a constitutional challenge. There's nothing to talk about. It is clear as crystal what the Constitution says. It says that our Second Amendment shall not be infringed. Look up the word infringed. And we are infringed all over the place. And the Continental Congress made it clear with no uncertain terms the exact interpretation of the Second Amendment that they have any problems with that. So that's what we did. And we're going to court because we have tyrants, and we have to either get rid of the tyrants or they have to repent and do the right thing. You know, later on, if people want to bring them to trial and go further than that, that's the business of the people. But right now, our concern is bringing things under control. And that's where we're at. That's where we're focusing. I'd just like to go through, I'd like to say as quick as possible, but I think this is important to spend the time on. I want to read the 20 major points. I think it's 20 major points. Some of them are a little long, so I'm going to kind of try to rush through them quickly. But these are the conclusions of the Continental Congress, and it's important that people know them and hear them. And it goes on here, these are the remedial instructions to each of the several states. There's instructions to the federal government, and there's instructions to the states. We're just dealing with the states. We're dealing with New York State. Each of the several state legislators shall adopt legislation as necessary to recall from office any elected or appointed public official for failure to respond to any proper petition for redress of grievances. The number one, the state legislators shall refuse to accept any and all federal funding until all three branches of the federal government are in compliance with the instructions of the Continental Congress. Number two, the state legislators shall adopt legislation providing for the instruction of a citizen's grand jury for the purpose of hearing complaints and issuing indictments against any public official who may be in violation in his or her oath of office and or the accountability clause of the First Amendment. And by the way, this one on the jury, the second one particularly, and also for recalling anybody in office, we have common law procedures, and we can do that right now. I wouldn't try to do it until we get some political power, because with the political power, they won't dare go up against us. Without the political power, it would just be more of a fight. So I think we'll stick on the battles we have. The three major battles we have right now is getting political power as one, a fight against New York State Board of Election. And the second one we have going up against them is with the guns, to get our Second Amendment rights back. And the third one, which we're about ready to get focused in on, is the sheriffs. We're about to lose our sheriffs. We must save our sheriffs. We also must educate our sheriffs. And we have a plan for the sheriffs, which maybe next week we'll talk about that, on how to bring the sheriffs back to the police force of the people. And so these are the things we have to do. And by the way, we really need money. It costs money to do these things. I've even had to hire out some people to type up some stuff. I have, all of this information, all the names we're getting, I had to have someone put it on. I didn't have time to do it, so I paid someone $10 an hour. And we're not getting enough money to cover these costs. The paper is expensive, and, we go through reams. I must have bought in the past 3 months at least 3 boxes. Each box has 10 reams of paper, and we've gone through it. You can imagine how much toner we go through. So we really need some money. This is for freedom, and everybody can afford $20. For those who can afford 50 or 100 or more, hey, let's take that too. But everybody can dig up $20 and send it in occasionally. We need it seriously, and so those of you who are hearing this and can get others involved and get the word out to them, send us some money. We desperately need it. We cannot stop. We have to go forward. We have to do these court cases and continue the fight and also continue to focus in on bringing people together. And again, we have some really great plans which will be unfolding over the next weeks on how we can help to push this along faster. Getting back to this. Number three, the state legislators shall adopt legislation moving impediments to the restoring of the writs of quo vanto and to obtain a hearing on the merits. And I would look that up because I had never heard that before. These are one of three extraordinary writs. One is a writ of mandamus. The other one is a writ of habeas corpus. And the third one is a writ of quo vanto. I'm not going to get into the discussion of those. Right now we're fighting a writ of mandamus, which is a huge problem. They're extraordinary writs, and they're emergency writs, and they're supposed to be responded to within days, at most a week or two. We have been sitting on, the courts have been sitting on our writ of mandamus for over 6 months now, and it has severely hindered our case, and we're about ready to sue even the appellate court. And that's what we have to do. We have to sue all of them, every judge along the way for not doing their duty. And when we get political power, we have to recall these people. Four, repeal all state statutes regulating the ownership, use, and transfer of firearms and ammunition. Five, repeal any state statute which provides for the registration of firearms and ammunition. Six, eliminate all taxes on private property, such as land, buildings, tenements, automobiles, chattels, estates, real estate, real property, personal property, or property tax assessment. Seven, the legislators shall develop laws and regulations required to establish a state policy for the generation or distribution of energy that is based upon a free market principle and operates pursuant to the rights of the states under the 10th Amendment. Eight, leave the regulation, generation, or distribution of energy to the free market. 9, pass a resolution declaring that the federal government has no power to regulate, control, or establish policy for the generation and distribution of energy within the state. 10, pass laws defining private property and blocking the use of eminent domain for community development of private property. 11, amend the rules governing civil and criminal cases to require judges to appraise plaintiffs and defendants of their rights under the 7th Amendment to a common law jury. 12, amend the rules governing civil and criminal cases to require all judges in cases where the state is a party to a case to appraise all juries of the judge's conflict of interest. And these two are very important, and we've come to really understand how serious a problem these two particularly are. And by the way, one of the other things we have picked up on and we're looking to do as soon as we move into structuring ourselves a little better around the state is we want to start to develop jury pools. And we want to start to develop a grand jury in every county. Some counties more higher populated will need a larger grand jury pool. But this is something we'll have to discuss and figure out the details. But we have gotten some information on how this process might be able to get started. But it first starts with organizing. And as we're organizing, it requires education. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. I bring that up often because this is what people have got to do. They have to become educated. They have to put their time into it. We have to do it for our posterity. Our children are never going to even understand or know what we have. Our schools have become militarized zones. I can't believe how serious it is. Go up and see some of the videos we have up on our gun lawsuit page. Watch those videos and get sick to your stomach and get up and just get mad and let's do what we got to do. It's time to move. We have to bring more people on board. We have to start organizing across the state. If we don't do it, nobody else is. We are the only ones doing it. This is it. This is the game. People know. They understand what has to be done. It's time to do it. 9. I think I'm on 9. No. 10. Pass laws defining. I got 10. I got 11. 12, 13. The state legislator of each of the several states shall pass a resolution in support of the following instructions to the Congress and thus exercise our just powers as guaranteed by the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights. A, discontinue funding for any foreign aid or any funding that is not necessary for the defense against invasion of the United States. B, treaties that are inconsistent with or that violate the Constitution that have been ratified shall be nullified, and any further treaties that would infringe upon individual rights, liberties, and freedoms or that are otherwise repugnant to the Constitution shall not be ratified. C. Repeal the Patriot Act, the Military Commission Act, the Real ID Act, and any other statute repugnant to the 4th Amendment of the Constitution. 14. That the legislator in exercise of its reserve power under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 of the 10th Amendment and the 10th Amendment, as well as other provisions of the Constitution for the United States, shall adopt a currency other than that emitted by Congress for the use of all the financial transactions of the state. These shall be by statute established as advisory commission on alternative and competitive currency for the state, and purpose of which shall be a study and recommended. They then go into some details on setting up some different study groups and so on. We've developed an idea also on money, and once we get moving, we'll bring that up and we'll start discussing that. It will be the committeemen that will push all these things through, and if we can unite with the Continental Congress, pull them together, and also unite with the Oath Keepers and other organizations out there, we can start to develop a good, strong, liberty focus here in New York State. Let's see, 15 is quite long. Let me see if I can reduce it a little bit. Well, let me just read through it quickly. We've got 20 of them altogether. We're number 15. It is the belief of the Continental Congress 2009 that our states are being directly and indirectly impacted by the public debt created by Congress, the theft of our finances to pay for unconstitutional, irresponsible constitutional spending on the part of Congress impacts the economy of every individual. The uncontrollable spending of Congress effectively steals monies that could otherwise be used for personal growth by the citizens of various states, thereby creating a welfare socialist fascist state where the citizens look to Washington, D.C., for every aspect of their life. When the states pattern their financial policies after the federal government, the result is an increase in taxes on the citizens, thereby exacerbating. I know how to say that word. Let's see. Well, exacerbating the people's burdens. Therefore, we instruct the several states to A, reassert their rights expressed in the 10th Amendment to act autonomously. B, refuse to accept any Federal Reserve notes. And that's one of the plans we came up with, too, pushing silver particularly. Refuse to give the federal government any funds that could be used for unconstitutional spending. 16, instruct the U.S. representatives and senators to reclaim their exclusive constitutional powers to declare war by A, repealing all acts, executive orders, and resolutions pertaining to the delegation of any war or emergency powers to the president. Ending the funding of any and all offensive or preemptive military activities throughout the world within 12 months after being served with this document. And we served this document in April of 2010. C, complying fully, and it's up to us, we the people, to lift up the Continental Congress. And, we can use this gun issue because we've attached it to this lawsuit we have with the gun issue. We can bring them two together and bring them to the front minds of the people, and the people will they have to get upset when they realize the Continental Congress has met and they have not been informed. C, complying fully and strictly with all of the war powers provisions in the Constitution as originally written and adopted, never again allowing American troops to be committed for any reason except in accordance with the Constitution. D, impeaching any president who invites military activities without a lawful Congress, declaring the war as stated in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. 17, immediately recall all National Guard troops and equipment. 18, obey the constitutional oath of office by refusing to commit any militia equipment or funds that may result in injury or loss of human life without a lawful congressional declaration of law as stated in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. 19, protest any military action by the president in any form without a lawful congressional declaration of war as stated in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. 20, the Continental Congress 2009 instructs the several states to enact legislation to provide for the verification of a candidate for president as a condition for participating in the state general election for the president and to provide for dissemination of the information to the public. And we know that's been a major problem because this guy was not born in America. I'm not a nut. This is not a theory. It's a fact. He's the enemy of liberty. We're talking about Barack Obama. Let me finish off with their whereas. Whereas the president has demonstrated his failure to faithfully execute the current immigration laws specifically, and it gets into the numbers, U.S. codes, and so on. Whereas the president and the executive branch of the federal government have failed to enforce the aforementioned immigration laws. Whereas the state law enforcement officers must take an oath affirmation. I think we should give it to this affirmation business, but that's my opinion. As an oath to faithfully execute the Constitution and applicable laws enacted thereunto. Whereas that in the United States versus Santana Garcia, citing United States versus Vasquez and Alvarez, a United States Court of Appeals upheld the right of the states to enforce federal immigration laws by stating, state and local police officers have implicit authority within their respective jurisdiction to investigate and make arrests for violations of federal laws, including immigration laws. Now, therefore, let it be it resolved that the governors of each state shall direct the law enforcement officers of their state by whatsoever means necessary to honor their oaths in office, to take care that the immigration laws be faithfully executed to their fullest extent, and to The legislators of each state shall take steps to sanction or impeach the governor and or any law enforcement officer who fails to honor his oath of office or otherwise fail to fulfill his obligation to enforce the state and federal immigration laws. We need to lift up the Continental Congress and their work. We need to lift it up with this gun lawsuit. We need to lift it up with our judicial process. We need to embark on battles in the Supreme Court concerning the Continental Congress and its obedience necessary in the states. And we need to sue every judge that goes against us or gets in our way and go after them for treason, just like we need to do this for these people that are in government today. We need to become educated. We need to organize. We need to grow. And we need to get this word out to the people. All right, I'm going to open up the mics for an open conversation. Anybody have any questions, comments? The mics are unmuted. Mics open. Questions and comments?
John?
Yes.
I just had a brain fart. Every state has a Supreme Court justice on the Supreme Court to represent them.
Yes.
And it might be appropriate for somebody, you or Bob Schultz, somebody
no,
who
he's
can
not
fight.
Because he has not come to the understanding of common law. He's civilly minded. He's been taught by too many lawyers. I love Bob Schultz. He did a great work with the Continental Congress. He does some good battles in court, but he works on their civil system, and he bends his knee to statutes. I will not bend my knee to a statute. And
okay,
nobody
then,
who's a free man should ever bend their knee to a statute. We bend it to
okay,
time.
Then you're the person to write the letter to uh-oh. Our New York State a judge from Supreme Court, because that's the way I think it's important enough because of the sheer historic value of the Continental Congress to bring it to the Supreme Court's attention. And you can put whatever suggestions in there you want to, but I think
that's a good idea. I like this. Well, I'll put together a letter and we'll try to get it signed by as many people as possible. We'll ask. We have over 1,000 people on our list now for the gun battle and growing. We have at least 150 people on building up for the sheriff. Anybody who hasn't signed up for these things, we need to get out on our website and sign up and become a plaintiff with us. And we'll try to get all these people's attention to sign up for this letter that we will send to the. I know who the highest judge is. The unfortunate thing. Here's what we're up against. Here's what we're up against. We're up against a court system that has been hijacked by a foreign source. It is a facade, no different than that of the Federal Reserve or the Committee Man process here in the state of New York. No difference than that. And these people have been taught by commies and Nazis that statutes are law, because that's how they take control, is by statutes. They get people to believe that statutes are law. They've never had a problem with that in most countries. They have a problem in this country. It took them a long time to move this and to dumb us down that bed. But anyway, they moved the statutes. Now, all these lawyers I have come to understand, they believe that statutes are law. They are true believers. Judges on the trial level, that's on the bottom feeders. These are all the bottom feeders in the judicial system, the trial level. They all believe, they're true believers, that statutes are laws. When we come in and talk about statutes not being laws and that the supreme law of the land is the constitutions, particularly, and maxims, they look at us like we've got six heads. They just do not understand. It's so outside their realm of reality, and that's unfortunate. That's how serious that these people have been brainwashed. And now judges are approved by the Bar Association, so we have a major problem there. The judge that's going to hear our case on our gun law, we suspect that he's a thinker. We suspect that he has his eyes on the, I at least I suspect, that he has his eyes on the appellate court or the court of appeals, and he may have a conscience. We suspect he might have a conscience. So we're going to see how things go when we get him in court, because we're going to his jaw is going to be hanging down half the time when we get into court, I think. At least we hope we're going to be able to do that. Now, I do know, I wrote down, and I did write this woman a letter. It's a female who is the chief judge of, I believe, the entire state, but at least the third district. There might be one chief judge of everyone. I'm not sure. But I think there's a chief judge for each district. And I'll look in to see if there's one. And here's the big problem. Not only that have they been trained and educated by the Bar Association, and they're in for the status quo, they're very politically motivated, and they are appointed by the governor. So you see here in the problem. Nevertheless, we do have U.S. codes to twist their arms with, and they do know. And I think they figured it out by now. We're not stopping in New York State. We're going right to the feds. We're just going to keep going up the line with every one of our cases. We're not going to stop. And again, that's why we need money. Anybody who can give money, we really need it seriously. But anyway, we're going to take everything right up the line. And we are quoting the U.S. Code, U.S. Code 42. Well, let's go to 18. U.S. Code 18, 242, 243, and 245. These are civil and criminal complaints that we're making against these people, the judges. We are going after them for literally jail time. Whether we pursue jail time is one thing, but it's in the paperwork. It's a criminal act. We're going after them for U.S. Code 42, 1983, 85, and 86. And I believe it's 1986 that says that if any officer of the court or any officer or person in power that has that sees a crime being committed has the power to prevent, stop, or to participate in the stopping of it, and doesn't do it, is guilty of the crime and becomes part of a conspiracy. And when we brought the issue of the breaking of the law, and in all these cases, there's breaking of the law. In our court case for the New York State Board of Election, they broke the law 6-118 of the election law. And remember, these are statutes, but statutes are laws for bureaucrats, for elected individuals, for municipalities. They're laws, and some of these statutes connect a jail sentence to it. And when they break a law and they violate our constitutional rights, we then execute the U.S. codes upon them, and they are susceptible to jail time. These are criminal actions that they are committing. And these justices, the two justices, and I don't even want to call them justices, these two judges down on the trial level, the bottom feeders of the court system, they have violated our constitutional rights under U.S. codes. The commissioners of New York State Board of Election and all the commissioners throughout the state of New York and every county has violated our right to run for office and has broken a federal law by interfering with our run for office. They're all guilty of a crime. These judges on the appellate court, if they rule against us and they don't go forward, and, you know, they can do whatever they want, but one of the things they got to do is they got to turn around and tell the state to obey the law. If they fail to do that, it doesn't matter that they didn't read the papers and they didn't understand, because ignorance is not an excuse of the law. That's what they tell us. That's what we'll tell them. Okay, so those people are also guilty of breaking U.S. codes and could do, there is unlimited jail time for this. Life imprisonment is the top dollar on this. And if someone is killed in this process, then death penalty is open to them. So there's no money amount limitation on what they could be sued for, and there is no jail time limitation on what they can go to jail for. So these are serious matters, and at some point they'll wake up to it. When we went after the family court in Greene County, they gave us a hard time. They pushed back, and we pushed back harder. Then they got some bright guy who came in there, and we had met him. He was a pretty bright lawyer, and I think he alerted them to say, hey, you better watch what you're doing here, because these guys are on the mark. They got valid stuff here, okay? And it scared the judge, and he couldn't get us out of his court system quick enough, okay? And the same thing eventually happened in the town court, where they found another excuse to throw a case out, which was connected to this case. Okay, so they come to realize the dangers. These judges up in Albany County, they don't understand it yet, but they will. They got to be getting some signals. You know, the problem is they don't read. That's the problem. And it's the same problem with they went to the same educational system we went through. We don't read. We got to read. We got to learn. We got to become educated. We got to understand what liberty really is. We have to understand how the process works, and we have to take control of that process. Without power, we are lost. America is done. If the people don't pick up the power, we're done.
So anyway,
it's a good idea. I will I'll look into that.
I just think that, the Continental Congress is so fundamental and historically significant to this country that they'd be willing to look into it no matter what the excuse would be.
Right. I made contact, someone made contact with me from the Continental Congress, and I called John Wallace up today. He was on the Continental Congress, and I'm waiting to call back from him. I want to discuss this and try to connect him with the other movements. We have Sheriff Mack, who we just had heard out in, Syracuse we're at?
Yeah.
We listened to him, and he's laying it out clearly as a bell that this is tyranny. These are tyrants, and this is an act of treason. And if we can connect the Continental Congress with Sheriff Mack, connect them with the Oath Keepers, connect them with our movement, the committee man process and the judicial process fight that we're involved with, and we have Michael Bodnarik out there and others, Griffin and a few others. If we can connect all these people together and really start to push. But the key to this whole thing is getting this message out to the people. That's your job. That's our job, because the news media definitely is not going to do it.
Right.
We sent out some alerts on this Continental Congress thing, and I might repeat it. Maybe I'll write it a little differently, but I might repeat it again. But anybody who got that email, that needed to be pushed out. Say it in your own words. Say whatever you want to do. We'll just cut and paste what we send out and get it out. Get it to everybody you know. Get it to go viral on the Internet. Anybody who can do creations of YouTube, let's get them YouTubes out there. Let's do what we got to do. Let's get the message out. Let's save America. There's not much time. We are in the state of emergency is so drastic. I do not know that we're going to make it through this year. No. I've been thinking this for a while, but I haven't really been talking. But I'll tell you what, we are in such perilous times. We are so precarious in everything, our money situation. They're pushing real hard on the guns. It's one thing after another, overnight movements, assassination of Americans, courts that don't listen and don't read. It is such a serious people. We got to get moving. There's no more time to waste, you know. And these phone conferences we have, they're recorded. This is a record number, episode number 19, I believe. You can go onto our website on the left side and click on the Liberty Alliance page. There's a drop-down box. You can scroll through it. You can look to see the different programs we've had, what the subject matter is, and you can click on them and get a little information on what it's about and listen to them. You send people to listen to this episode. This is episode 19. This is probably our most important message. And we got to get the word out that the Continental Congress has met. You've been defrauded. There's a conspiracy, obviously, because there's a news blackout. So someone is controlling the news, and you don't know about it. And this was under emergency conditions. And now we need it. We need to execute the Continental Congress's Articles of Freedom.
I'll tell you another problem, too. I went to college, and they taught us how to speed read. And what we do when we speed read is we don't read.
Yeah,
because we don't comprehend.
Right, I agree. Well, you know, I was thinking of another thing we may do. I was talking with Gerard about this, and we need to put a list together of what's important for our sheriffs to know, and get them, instruct them. And then I realized, wait, what we need to do is a notice and demand on every sheriff. We need to get as many people in every county. We create a notice and demand to send to our sheriffs and put them on notice concerning their actions. And now there is no excuse. There is no excuse. You involve yourself in A, B, and C. You've been informed by the people on the notice and demand. We will put it on record. We'll follow with the county, and we will post it on the Internet, and we will even try to get it out into the news. And when they break those rules, we will hold their feet to the fire to the fullest extent. These sheriffs have got to be, you know, I've been studying the history of the sheriffs, and some people, again, they don't understand liberty. They don't understand how this process works. Well, the sheriff's history is the sheriff is the police force of the king. He's the king's police force. And people, this is how bad people think. They think that the king is the government. They think this is a bad thing. No, this is a good thing because the people are the king. The government is not the king. We are the king. The sheriff is our police force. They are out here to protect and serve us. We are the posse. We are those who are to be deputized in an emergency situation. We need to let these guys know they got to stop thinking like they're in a military zone, like they're cops. You know, I know a lot of cops. I come from a neighborhood of cops. I hung out with cops, and I know their mentality. And as soon as you buck or you ruffle their feathers or you buck them in any way, all of a sudden they go into this mode, this seniority mode, this militarized mode, and they start interrogating you and digging for you, looking for, you know, they know you broke the law somewhere. They just got to find out where, okay? That's a fact. Anybody could be stopped and go to jail because once you get poked a few places and they start to realize, they'll find something you broke the law with. And so this is what they do. They got to stop this. They got to call me sir. I'll call them sir too. But they got to stop this. They're supposed to be our police force. They're not out there to be swarms for the judges and these courts to come out and prowl the highways to find us in statutory violations, which is not law. Tickets are not law. You don't have to pay your tickets. You don't have to go to jail for carrying a gun. Well, you may go to jail for carrying a gun. But you will get out of jail if you stick to the fight and you make the battle. We've already done it. You just got to stick to the battle and keep fighting the jurisdiction and following the program, and you will get out. If you actually go to physical jail, well, you can sue. We're under the understanding it's $25,000 a day for being in jail. That's what they pay you. That's what you can sue for. These things are not laws. This SAFE Act, it's not a law. It's irrelevant. If all the people understood that and said, hey, no, just say no, and they go to court, I challenge the jurisdiction. We've written a generic paper to use this, you know, to utilize to prevent them from applying their jurisdiction. And I found today a couple of new nuggets that we missed, and we're going to put them into the paperwork. But we got a pretty good paper. So it's just say no. Statutes are not law. We have tons and tons and tons, just all kinds of case law that makes it clear as crystal.
We got to impress upon the sheriffs, too, that they're the one that would have to go sue or get the hold of the governor if he violates the law.
That's right. Well, it's going to be the sheriff that, we win this gun battle. It's going to be the sheriff that's going to serve the paper on the governor. It's going to be
right.
The sheriff that's going to serve the paper on the Congress, both the Senate and Assembly.
And
it's going to be the sheriff that's going to warn them, if you don't obey, you're going to go to jail.
Why aren't we arresting him right now? Why aren't we arresting Snyderman?
We don't have the power. I'd like to.
We're arresting the state police superintendent. They're all in treason right now.
That's right. And that's what our court case is about, as you know. And we will get to that point. We have to lay the case out.
Huh?
We have to lay the case out, and then we'll arrest them. If they don't obey, we will arrest them. And once we start to get power, I'm sure the people are going to want to go back and start to look at all the tyrants and who they are, and they're going to have to pay. And some may end up at the end of a rope. I don't know. That's not for me to decide. That's the jury to decide. But that's where we're at, people. That's where we better be thinking. You know, if you haven't heard the message by Stuart Rhodes that was put forth Syracuse. Up in Syracuse. If you haven't heard that his message, and even Sheriff Mack's message, okay, but particularly Rhodes, he made it clear We're there. We are there. Go listen to that message if you haven't heard it. Just get ready because we are there.
Listen,
that's
gotta,
why it's so important that we work to take control as soon as possible. There is no more time to waste. We've wasted too much time. It's time to learn. It's time to understand these things. It's time to start wheeling and executing whatever power we can get, little at a time, until we can get the whole power back. We have to do it. Go ahead, Gerard.
Listen, they got this tip line where if you give a tip, you get $500 if they catch the guy with an illegal gun or illegal clip and that. So I think we should start using it right now. They haven't changed the law. All the cops are in violation of that. So
yeah, but let's not do that with the sheriffs. Let's do that with the state police.
No, that's right. Well, we should be using the sheriffs to do this. We should be going in. And actually, we don't want to enforce the SAFE Act because then we're in treason. But the thing is we could still go in and grab them and make them put their clips out there and show that they're in violation. And they can be
written
up for that.
Well, we do have to be careful because otherwise I think you just hit a nerve here. We may be hypocrites and violating ourselves. And, you know, here's another thing. There are people in the Liberty Movement, and they are taking political power, and they're getting some little headway here and headway there. But they have not gone out to educate themselves. And so, therefore, they will only become them. We have to realize that. If we don't become educated on what freedom, what liberty really is, we will become them. You know, our founding fathers searched everywhere through history, looking to understand what is freedom, okay? And they came to an understanding. The search really started here in the West in great details in the 17th century with the 17th century philosophers who started to really define and search out, what liberty actually really is. And our founding fathers read these people and studied these people, and they came to understand what liberty is. You know, and this is the first time in the history of mankind, at least any time that we're aware of, there's nothing in history anywhere of anything what the United States was built upon. And if we lose this, it will be lost forever. And it took 6,000 years of history to get here. And it could be lost overnight. We are the guardians of liberty. We are the guardians of righteousness. And it's time for us to stand up and protect it because it cannot protect itself.
The other interesting question is, why hasn't it been mimicked? And I can tell you why. Because they had powers in every other country that prevented it from happening.
Right. The United States has been busy building democracies, not republics. Democracies. Okay? That's the problem. And they've trained us to believe we're a democracy. It took 3 years to get Chris Gibson to finally realize and say republic. Okay? And he wasn't even the enemy. But that's how dumbed down we are. I speak to myself first. That's how dumbed down we are. We better wise up and get educated. We better stand up and take control of things and lift up liberty and lift up justice, lift up righteousness, lift up God, and do the right thing, or we are going to lose it forever. Again, it cannot protect itself.
Same with Amy Goodwin.
Who?
Amy Goodwin. Democracy Now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. I don't know any of that. Any questions, comments? Anybody want to build upon this? Mic's open. By the way, you know, we have a lot of stuff out on our website free. We have the entire course. Just go out to newyorkcommittyman.org. Click on judicial, okay? And when you click on the judicial process, up on the tab, second tab from the left, from the left is court access. Click on court access. There's free downloads. There's 10 zip downloads right there. Everything you want to know, all the entire course on common law, audio, video. We wrote a book on the judicial process, how to get into the courts. Everything you need is right there, and then you come here on Mondays to ask questions on those things which you don't understand, and maybe we can write it better. But there it is, right there. And we update. Now, we have a huge footnote file, a pretty decent-sized footnote file, and I just found a treasure trove of case law, probably 1,000 case laws, 1,000, okay, case laws that support freedom, supports liberty, supports our positions and freedom and liberty. And I've been working on it all day, cutting and pasting and building up, rebuilding up, and fortifying inside our footnote file. And a footnote file is when you write a paper and you use the key words, and then those key words you go in and look through the footnotes and you pick out and you pull case law up on it. Okay, then you attach it as a footnote in your paper, and that's how you write a paper. You know, we'll teach you how to do that. Anybody gets to that point and starts wanting to write in the paper, we'll write papers for you, and we'll teach you how to write them. Okay, and so we have a whole bunch of new stuff, and as soon as I get through all this and put it in, we'll be updating the footnote file, and this is the most powerful thing we have. We're also updating our book. We created a book that you go to court with keywords in the front, and as you're talking, you know, you can zip through your keywords and flip over the page and bring out supporting case law on your points, and you can just razzle and dazzle these people. These people, they are so boggled by us when we come in and bring things out. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to respond. They haven't got a clue, and we're quoting their boss. Okay, so they can't say it's baloney. Which, by the way, the word baloney, you know the word baloney comes from? In the 1200s, I don't remember particularly what year, the very first civil law court, which is what our lawyers are built upon, comes from Babylon, okay, Babylonia. The very first civil law court was formed in Bologna, and it was called the University of Bologna, or Bologna. And we know that lawyers are full of baloney. So very interesting. And I guess that's why they used the word baloney for baloney, you know, all the garbage put together. So, but anyway. By the way, maybe someone could keep an eye on the text chat if there's any questions or comments out there that we want to respond to. Mic's open. I see people with mics in here.
John, this is Hashem from Staten Island.
How you doing, Hashem?
How are you?
I got your email today. I don't know if you got my answer yet.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to try to do it in 2 or 3 weeks on a Saturday.
Yeah, Saturdays are best, especially when we're traveling. And just before you speak, I just want to make a note to everyone. We're doing a presentation on the judicial and political process here in up in Greene County Tuesday, tomorrow, 7 o'clock. And we have it recorded everywhere. You'll find it on our calendar on newyorkcommittyman.org also. And, you know, if that's too far for you to travel, no matter where you are in the state, just set up an arrangement for getting as many people as possible in a library or someplace. And you give us a call, we'll set a date, and we'll come out free of charge. We don't charge for it. We'll put the donation can out there and try to get some money to cover our course, but that's about it. So do you should get this presentation. It's really dynamic. It's important, and it helps us to organize. Go ahead, Hashem.
Thank you. So one of the main ways, of course, of educating the people is through such presentations and you know, these activities.
I
have to be frank and honest. Your true friend is the one who tells you the truth and not hide from some of the style of communication that I hear might alienate most who are not educated about this. So I'll give you just an example, just to be mindful of it.
Right.
In tonight's call, number one, there was a loon on the chat. He left already, but he was writing, ranting against Jews. Just for the record, for everybody listening, whether it's law enforcement or regular people, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we have no religious bias. We are not against anyone. We are for liberty. So it doesn't matter that some Jews are bad. We are not attacking all Jews.
Right. We believe in nature's God, and you understand God however it is, and you go to your prayer closet and you talk to him. That's what we all have to do. And we do get these people that come in from time to time that are against blacks or against Jews or against Muslims or against this. I get phone calls from time to time. I had one yesterday. It was kind of extreme, and it just happens. But that's not what we're about. And any time that is discovered in the text chat, someone should get my attention, and I will deal with it, and I'll deal with it harshly. I'll try to be a little gentle in the beginning, but we'll have to get harsh on it, and that'll be that. So please, we can't allow that to grow in any way in this in our group. We will disconnect ourselves from any group that starts to get involved in that kind of thinking, because look at, if we don't come with bent knees before the creator of the universe and realize that everybody is created in the image of God, and it's up to those people, it's up to God to deal with every individual. It's ultimately God's job. That's what he does. He saves people. That's his business. It's not ours. But if we start to attack people and assault people, obviously we are not going to be blessed by God, and our efforts will not be successful. The only way our efforts could possibly be successful is if we go to a bent knee to the creator of the universe.
Hey, John.
Yeah, Hashem's still talking, though. Go ahead, Hashem.
Oh, okay.
And then you can go next.
I'll yield as long as I can come back.
Huh?
I will yield as long as I can come back.
No, it wasn't important. Go ahead, Hashem.
So the other example that I want to give is what you spoke about, John, that maybe I misunderstood, but you were on the bandwagon of that Obama was not born here. And
correct. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But some people don't believe that that's okay.
Okay, so my point that I want to raise is this is a very contentious issue. And
yes.
I would avoid it. Whether it's right or wrong, because it's not the meat of the thing. And it's
I agree 100%. I've never brought that up in public, I don't think. I brought it up only because the Continental Congress brought it up. They didn't bring it up directly, but they brought it up indirectly. And they said that every state needs to really dig deep to see if someone is eligible for presidency before allowing them on the ballot. And we had read that. It may have been a little confusing, but that's what they did say. And they were looking particularly at Obama, because never before have we ever had to even think in those terms. But now we do. And so I know that this is a hard story for some people, and we don't want to get lost in it, and we don't want anything that's going to divide us. So you're right. We should stay away from that conversation.
But since it was mentioned,
yes,
what is the idea behind where was he born? And
I don't recall particularly. Maybe someone else can say where he was born. I don't recall particularly. Alan Keyes did some in-depth research, and he wasn't the only one. There's a sheriff in, I think, the Arizona sheriff, some of the sheriff out west that did in-depth research on this, and then there are others. And the birth certificate that was put out turned out to be a fraud, and this was put out by the White House. It was a fraudulent birth certificate, and they can't produce anything. That tells me that there's a problem. And the judge that ruled on that case, that said that Obama cannot run for president unless until he proves that he's a citizen, and that was his findings on that case, he was assassinated. And the news doesn't tell you about that. And here we got Obama, and he's not the only one. Bush is just as bad. If Bush could have got away with this stuff, he would have done it, but he couldn't. We have this guy in the White House that is actually talking about assassinating American citizens. Are we freaking crazy that we allow such conversation to take place and our media says nothing? We should be outraged. Outraged. But that's the kind of conversation that's going on. And even if he was born in this country, he's not one of us. That's for sure. No matter how that works out, we'll lay that aside. He's definitely not me. He's not one of us.
Hey, listen, we had a president whose vice president was the owner of Halliburton, who was a military contractor who makes billions of dollars off of war, and we went to war with no evidence whatsoever and killed thousands and thousands of people with no evidence. So Bush isn't any better than Obama. As a matter of fact, Bush killed more people than Obama did. Obama's saying he's wants to do it. Bush did it. Those were innocent people over there that they took the drones in and they boom. They need one. They're looking for one supposed guy and they blow a whole family up. And one of their brothers or sisters are over here in a college. They let them in here, and they're at college. I'm not saying they shouldn't let them in here, but guess what? You don't blow their families up. You talk about making homegrown terrorists. What do you expect? Oh, your whole family was blown up while you were in the United States studying in college. What kind of a foreign policy is that? And why would we ever let a president and a vice president run wars that they're making money off of?
Yep. Well, with that said, I do agree with you, Hesham. We'll try not to get involved in those kind of conversations. You're probably right. We should stay away from them.
So, I mean, I hope that we will get you down here on Staten Island in a couple of weeks. And I would just ask you to, even though that some of the audience would be educated somewhat, but if you can gear it towards...
I will be careful in a mixed crowd, particularly. And, again, the only reason I brought it up is because the Continental Congress brought it up. It was in their paperwork. And that's the only reason I brought it up. I voiced my opinion. I probably shouldn't have, but because again, it can be divisive. I agree. So, but no, I would never bring up anything controversial in a presentation. We stick on point, and only on the things that are obvious, the things that are clear cut, and right out of For instance, I'm not going to particularly talk about Obama wanting to kill Americans, but we have speeches with this in it. I mean. My goodness, but it's not subject matters that we want to get into.
Yeah.
We are in trouble. That is one of the major problems because they're coming out for us. There's no doubt in my mind they're coming out. They're coming out. They're going to put a bullet in my head. They're going to try anyway. There's no doubt in my mind. Unless we can take power and take control back and bring it back to the people and bring it back to righteousness, okay, and start to move from the bottom up, there's just a little bit of time. There's only a little window left. We have to move now. We have to get up and take power. It starts with educating ourselves. And so we can do that. And if we don't do that, it's going to be the message of Stuart Rhodes up in Syracuse this Saturday. That's the message. And it is unfortunate because I don't want to go there.
And just in case something happens to me, whatever it is, do not believe the suicide note or video.
Oh, me too. I agree. 100%. I agree. Believe me. No, when we start to hear of our friends of liberty starting to disappear or commit suicide, we know it's time to lock and load and fire at the doors. Because when they come knocking on my doors, when I know that that's what's going on, and it won't take, it'll move quickly through the system. When we know that that's what's happening, then it's lock and load at the door. And that's it. I'd rather die in a gun battle than be taken off onto their camps or taken out to the backyard and just have a bullet put in my head.
Let's not go ask for it.
Huh?
Let's choose our battles,
Yes. We need, that's why this is the battle of today. It's a battle of power. It's a battle of taking control of our judicial and political powers, winning our sheriffs back. We need to make a plan. We are going to make a plan on how to win the sheriff back. And we're going to serve notice to every sheriff. But the only people that can serve notice on the sheriff is the people of their county. So every county has got to take what we put together and adopt it or change it however they want to do it. But they need to approach their sheriff and put them on notice. This is what your job is. We are the people of this county. This is what your job is. This is against the law. This is against the law. This is how you should be acting. This is how you should be treating us. And if you break any of this or your deputies, you're guilty, and we're coming out after you for treason. And so we'll have to put that together in a nice way, in a notice and demand, very official, And we have all of the legal processes and how to instrument all this stuff and make it very legal. And then once they're put on, that's it, they're on notice. And that itself should help to bring us together, because we're here, they're here to serve us, and we're here to lift them up. Okay, so we have to work together with our sheriffs. We have to bring them back to where they belong. And we have to bring ourselves to where we belong, too. It's a two-way street here. Mike's open.
Hey, John. When you're doing your introduction here and you got the mics muted and there's stuff going on in the text chat, there's nothing I can do about it. I don't have any control to kick anybody out or anything.
I don't even know if I can kick them out. I guess I can mute them from writing or something. I don't know. Let me try that. Let's see. Who do we know? Let's see. Let me try you, Gerard. I'm going to mute you. Okay. See if you can write in the text chat. Try writing in the text chat. Put a note out there and see if you can put a note out there. I guess you probably can, because I had everyone muted. Yeah, they can. I'll have to study that to see what kind of tools they have that we can control this room better.
You should be able to kick somebody out of the conversation. You got controls. You're going to have to figure out how to do it. I am sure that you can kick them out, though.
Right. I'll have to figure that out. Let me see something else. I'll right-click on someone and see if there's any commands. Add block plus block image, no. All right. I'll have to go look at the instructions. They have some videos, I think, and some written instructions. I'll have to go look into them. So, all right, we'll look into that.
Okay.
Mic's open.
I don't know if I want to tell the story about our should I tell the gun story about the what's his name? I don't want to use his name.
Over in Hurley, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Huh?
Yeah, why not? It's a win.
Yeah,
you know, people should not think that they're going to win as easy as this guy did. But the win is there for you to have. And you know what? The fight starts in traffic court, because you don't have to worry about being thrown in jail. Yeah. So make your fight in traffic court. Learn there. Practice there.
Well, it's about knowledge. And knowledge is power. And when you have knowledge, you can build up your confidence. And when you speak with confidence, what happens is you take them down a couple of notches.
By the way, while you're talking, I'm just going to step away from it. I got to get something to drink. So go ahead, continue. Tell the story or whatever you want.
Right. So anyway, we have a certain person that is with us that we picked up when he was in strife in the courts, in the family courts, and we've been running papers and working with him for almost a year now. And he was a quick learner, and he's also very articulate. So make a long story short, he had a New York State pistol permit, and he had multiple guns on that permit. And when he had this domestic dispute, so to speak, they put an order of protection out, and they took his guns. And that's what we've been fighting all this time. So, you know, we got the order of protection squashed in a couple of weeks, which is unheard of in family court, but we got it squashed. But, you know, once they get your guns, they never want to give them back. They want you to go file an Article 78 and sue them. That's their policy. Can you imagine a county has the policy that you got to take them to court and sue them? And, you know, when you sue them and you win, you get monetary damages. So what they're saying is we're gonna use the taxpayers' money to stymie you from getting your guns. But that's not what this story's about. He didn't want to. We were going through a prolonged battle trying to get his guns back. So his strategy was, you know what? I'm fed up with New York. What's that? So what he did was is he decided he's going to move to Vermont. He got an apartment over there, and he changed his license there. And he had the guns shipped to a New York FFL, and then they got sent up to Vermont. And that's where his domicile was. But he still has a house in New York. He has a business in New York. So he's traveling between Vermont and New York. Well, it turns out he got his pistol permit back in spite of everything. Well, when he got his pistol permit back, there was no guns on it because he had removed them all to get them out of their hands. So in the meantime, he's been buying certain guns in Vermont because over there you can do the background check, the NICS check, and you walk out the door with the gun. There is no pistol permit. You just carry the thing, you know what I mean? So he went to look at a farm tractor out in the western part of the state here. And on his way back, I think he was in just south of Kingston or west of Kingston, I think Hurley. He gets pulled over by a trooper and he's got his window up, and you know it's him and his dog in the truck, and the trooper says, he asks him for his license and registration, and he said, why'd you pull me over? And he says, I asked you for your license and registration, and he tells him, well, the registration's on the front of the truck, it's the plate. I don't have to give you my registration, it's a Vermont plate. So right off the bat, he's getting into an argument with the trooper, you know. I mean, I don't suggest you conduct yourself this way, but so the next thing was, is he said, well, you were talking on your cell phone. He said, no, I wasn't. He says, I was holding this thing over here in front of my mouth. He says, it's my tape recorder. He says, how could you see what I was doing? And the guy says, well, I want your license and registration. Get out of the truck. And he says, I'm not going to get out of the truck. So the trooper sticks his fingers through the window, the crack he's got it down, and he's rolling the window up. And he dials 911 on his phone, the fellow that's in the truck dials 911, and he says, I need a sheriff over here right now. And they're going, calm down, sir. What's going on? I got a crazy state trooper, and he's over here trying to violate my rights, and I need a sheriff. They said, what do you want a sheriff for? Well, this is one of Cuomo's goons. I don't trust him. I've had nothing but trouble with the state police. He's going, you get me a sheriff over here right now. He's the people's law enforcement, and this guy is violating U.S. code. He starts rattling the codes off. So they send another trooper up. Of course, they don't send the sheriff. They send the trooper. So eventually they pull him out of the truck, and they put handcuffs on him, and they put him in the back of the car, and he tells them, he says, well, I got a pistol in the console. And so they take the pistol out of the console. Now, this is a pistol that's unregistered. It's not on his permit. And the cop says, well, what are you doing with this? It's unregistered. You can't do that. And he says, why not? He says, I live in Vermont. He says, I can travel through New York State with my pistol, and as long as I'm not off route, I can travel through your state. Don't tell me I can't. And the trooper says, well, you got a New York State permit. You're bound by our laws. He said, really? He said, guess what? He says, New York State doesn't have a Second Amendment in their constitution. So you know what? They got to follow the federal constitution. And he tells the cop, he says, this is getting personal now. You're pulling me out of the truck, and I'm telling you right now, and he starts rattling codes off, I'm going to sue you under U.S. code for kidnapping and under color of law, and I'm going to own your house and your car and maybe even your wife or whatever. And so he says, they get arguing back and forth about the law. I was surprised the trooper was as slick as he was, as far as, oh, well, you got a New York State permit, so you're under our laws. And so then he says, no, I'm not under your laws. He says, it's a forced compliance that I'm doing, and I'm a free man and all this baloney. And so they bring him into the trooper barracks, and as they're going down the road, he's in the back of the car. The trooper's doing like 80 miles an hour. And he says, excuse me, he says, but I got a pregnant wife home and a young son, and I would like to be there for the birth. Can you please slow your ass down? So he stayed on top of them the whole time. He didn't lose his cool. And they put him in a room handcuffed, and they're trying to call the sheriff from the county up here where his pistol permit is.
Did you cover the pot with the dog?
Oh, when they went to take him out of the truck. When they got him out of the truck, they started leaving. He says, you're not leaving that dog here alone. He says, that's animal abuse. He said, you leave that dog here alone, I'm going to add that to your suit also. You're going to end up paying for that. I'm going to get a hold of all the animal people, too. So they end up leaving a trooper at the truck watching the dog while they got him. So now he's really got him tied up. It's a Sunday. You know what I mean? They probably got a slower crew on a Sunday. I don't know. So he's sitting in there, and they're making calls, and he came out to go to the bathroom. They let him out. He screamed, do you want to go to the bathroom? You know, they got you handcuffed to the wall. And he says, so what are you going to do if that permit's not, well, that gun's not on my New York State permit? They said, well, we're going to arrest you. That's a felony. He says, well, you do what you got to do, but you know what? Everything you do to me, he says, is going on the suit. And everybody that knows about it, everybody in here that's participated is going to go on the suit too. And he rattles off the U.S. code because he knows them very well. And they put him back in the room, and about 5 minutes later, the trooper comes, they all opens the door. He says, come on, let's go. He goes, where are we going? He says, don't worry about it. He says, we're going back to your truck. They're pushing him out the door. He says, where's my guns? Don't worry about the guns. They get him in the car, and they bring him to the truck. They hand him his guns, and they tell him to hit the road. And the trooper says to him, you know, you didn't have to do that. You know, if you would have just handed me your license, we wouldn't have had to go through all this. But they let him go. This is New York State under the SAFE Act. He intimidated them so much and scared the guy that he was going to get this suit against him that they didn't want to mess with him. And it's because he knows the law and he knows how to spout it, and he has that confidence.
And they probably got one of the deputies in the sheriff's office in Greene County.
They probably said, oh, that guy, don't mess with him. He's got all of us under a order and demand, and he's going to do a federal suit. He went in the sheriff's office, and they were, hey, how you doing? They're getting friendly now. And they started talking. He says, oh, yeah. He says, I'm in my federal suit. He says, I'm going to get an order of protection against all the cops because of all the trouble.
That's
they
a
gave.
Great idea, by the way. That's a yeah. great idea. Matter of fact, him and I are going to work on that together, and we're going to get a lawsuit going to get an order of protection from all cops. And anybody who wants to get into that suit might want to think about it, because then – you know, like he says, where a cop comes up and pulls, he's going to put the paper out and say, you got to stand 30 feet away from me. Get away. And he's right. If you get an order of protection. So
now you know how to handle Cuomo.
Huh?
Now you know how to handle Cuomo.
That's right. We got to get a Cuomo protection. Right. So, but anyway, we got to keep hammering them. It may sound kind of strange to do an order of protection, but it does make the sense. Let me tell you something. That's what U.S. Codes 42 and 18 were all about. I told you earlier today that I found a treasure trove of case law. It must be about 1,000 different cases, and I'm going through them, and just about every one of them is great. You know, and I'm putting them into our footnote folders, as I said. But in any event, you know, when you go through this whole process, you discover we had a lot of judges, and we still do have some judges on the federal level particularly, and in the New York and other state levels, that are on our side, that are responsible for the writing and the pushing of these codes and responsible for the case law. Because when these legislators write law, they have to be approved by the highest court of the land, you know, the appellate courts in the federal and the appellate courts or the court of appeals in the states. And they have to be in harmony with the rest of law, and they have to be in harmony with the case law. So they get to play with the words. And I want to tell you, these U.S. codes and these case laws are there for us. And it talks about those who are out swarmed, those people who are sent out on the highways under the color of law to violate our rights. Who do you think they're talking about? They're talking about the cops coming out and arresting us for statutes. That's what they're talking about. And once you understand that, and you make them understand that, that's when they start to fear the people. And what is it that Jefferson said? Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin said this, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. But when the government fear the people, you have liberty. And that's what we want. We want these judges. We want these cops. We want them to fear us. If they're going to come out and get us, we better be real criminals so that they don't get sued. Because if they come out after us with their pretend law statutes, they come out with that pretend law, we're going to sue them. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
that's what everybody needs to do.
I never realized that when it said in disguise what that meant. I'm
right.
thinking of a guy with a mask on.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
you always see those BATF troops. They got the black mask. They hide their face. They cover their badge so that their identities
right.
can't know. So I figured that's what they were talking about, but they're not.
Disguised under the color of law.
Yeah, but what they're talking about is he's wearing the uniform of a police officer. And the minute he steps out of his proper role or jurisdiction, now he's in disguise. He's no longer a police officer. He's acting under color of law. He's got a uniform on. So it's like Halloween. He's pretending to be a police officer because he just lost all of his authority. That's what that means. And, you know, that thing with this fella, he had a couple things that he threw out there that put the doubt in their mind. He said, listen, I'm allowed to travel through your state from point A to point B as long as I don't go off course. And the guy says, how do I know you're not on course? And the guy says, I don't know. He says, go to Google Earth and figure it out. That's your problem, not my problem. You know, so right away he put a doubt in his mind. You know, then he put another doubt. Then he told him, listen, New York State doesn't have a Second Amendment. You got to follow the federal. And I don't go by those laws. I'm a free man. I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. And he threw more and more stuff. He threw enough stuff at him, and he complained about Cuomo, and he told him that you guys are nothing but statutory regulation violation revenue collectors. And you know, most of the time when he gets done talking to the cops, their heads are hanging. He has them embarrassed. And I mean, they probably know this at the back of their minds. Most of the troopers out there are probably pretty good. They probably don't agree with Cuomo. They probably, you know, I mean, I'm sure they got their young goons that haven't grown up enough to think about it. But anybody that's been on the force any length of time, and they got a family, and they got, you know, all these people in the community, they feel just like we do. They're probably sick to their stomach thinking about they're going to have to, you know, what they're going to do when it comes time to enforce this thing when Cuomo gives the orders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the superintendent of police, state police, he said that he would confiscate the guns when the time comes if Cuomo tells them to. That statement was made in public. That statement is a statement of his treason right there. The fact that
he
said
today,
that...
Go ahead. Huh? Sorry. No, sorry, go ahead, finish.
Well, there is no doubt in my mind that he is a public enemy. I don't need a judge. I don't need somebody to tell me that this guy is unconstitutional and in treason. It's so simple and it's so obvious. You know, I mean, a soldier is expected to know an unconstitutional order when he gets it, you know, and like Nuremberg, they hung those guys. Those guys said, we were following orders. Well, guess what? You can't follow an unconstitutional order, and you don't have a lawyer here to tell you if it's unconstitutional. You had better know. You had better know. And the Constitution's not so complicated that you can't figure it out. It's natural law. It's common law.
You know, Stuart Rhodes told a story this weekend, and he talked about a guy that was living under Stalin, and when they came out to take the guns, and he said, if only we had known. If only we had prepared. If only we had known. And he ended up in jail, but he was one of the lucky ones that happened to live through it, Gulag, I guess they call it, or something. But when he came out, he said, if only we had known. We just didn't know. Well, you know what, people? And this was the message, one of the main message, part of the message of what Stuart brought up, is that we know. Now is the day of decision. Right now is your moment of decision. You need to think about this and decide what you're going to do when they come for your guns. Okay? That's what you got to decide right now. Don't get caught not figuring this out and thinking about what you got to do or what you're going to do. Know what you got to do and what you're going to do for when the time comes.
You should not be drawing the line in the sand when they come to your door for the guns. You should have drawn it long before that. I'll tell you what, I called my sheriff when they were going to do forced vaccination, and I called him with another concerned neighbor, and we sat him down at the kitchen table, and we said, what are you going to do? I said, because when a healthcare worker and two state troopers come to my door and she's got a needle in her hand and she wants to force vaccinate my children, I said, I'm telling you right now, my gun's going out the window, and you're going to get a call. And if they come in, there's going to be some dead people. And I told him in no uncertain terms. And he told me, he said, I will not enforce any unconstitutional orders. And I said, all right, as long as that's what you're going to do. And I said, if that happens, you're going to be getting a call from me. So I already have told him where I'm at. He knows. You know, if they want me, they know they better come with an army, because I've already said so. And,
so we
and
all
I
have to make this decision time now. We have to figure out what we're going to do under what circumstances. You know, if we're one of the first ones taken, you know, well, you know, what are we going to do? But once we start knowing people are being taken, now it's decision time. And so, you know, anybody who hasn't listened to that message from Rhodes, they need to get out there and listen to it. So, anyway, mic's open. Anybody else? Questions, comment, anything?
Did anyone go? Did you guys go?
We went. Yeah, we videotaped it. It's up on our YouTube. Go out to NewYorkCommittyman.org. You can watch it right on our gun page, our gun lawsuit page. Or you can go out to my YouTube, which is Take Back America. No, Take Back the Republic, I think is what it's called. Yeah, Take Back the Republic. Go search out Take Back the Republic. That's my YouTube. I got about 500 or 600 videos up there. I used to have over 1,000, but they've shut me down twice. I'm on my third time around with these people. And I'm trying to be careful so I don't put all my videos up. Certain videos I know they're going to shut me down for. So I don't know whether they shut me down for certain. You know, they got a lot of violations on me already. But I don't know whether they shut me down when I get to a certain popularity, you know, or what.
The amount.
But,
is this YouTube you're talking about?
Yeah, YouTube, yeah.
There must be the amount. There's a quota. Like, you have to start paying. Another reason you have to collect funds.
Oh, no. That, you never get to that point on that. You can, or you can work out a deal with them for advertisements and stuff. But no, not with YouTube. No, they shut me down for violations. They make up violations. They got me for so many violations, and I don't have any violations. Almost all my YouTubes are YouTubes either created by myself or other people. And, you know, you get some news clips and stuff, and they try to tell you that that is, you know, controlled and you can't use it. It's under copyright. And that's BS, because news is news, you know. You might have, like, for instance, I put up a video that I recorded out at, you know, Syracuse this Saturday. And they will probably violate me for the music, because in the process of recording, for instance, when the sheriff came up, they played some music. And when they pick up on this stuff, they'll write me up for a violation for breaking some copyright, because there's music in the video before the sheriff got talking. And they mount these up. I have a couple of hundred violations, but they're not enough to – maybe when I hit so many of those kind of violations, they throw me out. I don't know. But they violate you everywhere. It's ridiculous.
Where's the videos you took in Syracuse?
Yeah. I was just going to say,
I've set them up on,
Do you have a search? Can you put one on on your website?
Well, if you go on to New York Committeeman and you click on lawsuits, click on the Second Amendment, because it was a Second Amendment rally, and come down, and let's see, I think it's the second video down, is the Syracuse one.
John, how many signatures did we pick up over there?
Yeah, second one. I think about 130 or something.
So that probably that put us over 1,000 then, right?
We're over 1,000 on the gun, and we're about 150 on the sheriff. Anybody who isn't signed up should go consider going up to our website and signing up for the lawsuit, both the sheriff's lawsuit and the gun lawsuit. And again, you know, we need donations. We can't continue without help. We need help. If everybody threw in $20, we'd be doing good. If everyone that's just on the lawsuit threw in $20, we'd have plenty of money to go for quite some time, you know. So everyone can afford $20 and you know, do what you can. But anyway, he's the second video on that page.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to lock in something every month. So how many people were there?
There must have been at least 2,000, right, Gerard?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 2,000, I would say, is a good guesstimate. It was hard to tell because it was in a horrible spot. They got you down. They had the speakers down on the water, and the hill went up, and it was a freaking foot of snow out there. And
literally,
you know,
yeah.
when you got back off the water, you couldn't hear them good. You know, they didn't have any speakers on top of the hill. You couldn't even see the speakers. But, you know, the lay of the land was tough. But I think 2,000 is a pretty good, fair, conservative estimate. You know what I mean?
And they had who funded this? Because you have to pay for it.
This was through what? Al and Palladino, and who else did this? Or who brought them out?
Yeah, Gary and Al kind of organized it. They brought them out. Probably Palladino.
Well,
Palladino
was the sponsors. Turn Albany upside down.
Yeah, Turn Albany upside down. That's the group.
So that was
right.
Palladino who
sponsored.
That's
Palladino.
Yeah,
Palladino. Yeah.
They estimated about 1,500 were there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I saw that on the news. Yeah.
Yep.
They did get a good news report, local news report on the regular TV, so that was good. Hey, look, I want to plug this particular page because it's so important. You know, go out to our NewYorkCommitteeMen.org, click on our, our lawsuit page, and then click on Second Amendment. And we've got a bunch of videos all appropriate for the Second Amendment. That's why they're there. And the first video, Innocent Betrayed, if you haven't seen that, it's about an hour long. You've got to see this. Look at every American should see this, Innocent Betrayed. The second one is Sheriff Mack and Stuart Rhodes that was this past Saturday recorded. The third one is Senator Rand Paul, his filibuster, and he talks about the president assassinating Americans. I think that's about an hour long. It's probably the best of the filibuster. It's the first hour. And it is really a powerful, sad, sick speech, because the fact that we're in America listening to something like this makes me sick to my stomach. And the video after that, Obama's Youth Army, if you're not aware of this and you haven't seen this, you got to watch this video. Let me tell you, people, we are in trouble, and it is serious. And next after that, we've got Stuart Rhodes, and talking about how the government is preparing to come out after the preppers. We have the Alex Jones. He's got an interview with Stuart Rhodes. We have our Greene County Sheriff interview that was recorded. We have our Columbia County Sheriff interview that we recorded live. We got that up there. We got the Right to Defend Yourself video. Schools. Now, this is going to make you sick. I knew the schools were in trouble. My oldest boy, who's 28 years old now, he went to school. I repent the day that I did that. And I know when he first went to school, I said to my wife, I said, we're in trouble. You know, she's coming home with all this crap and stuff. But we didn't think of homeschooling back in those days. My next two children, we decided we'd homeschool. And night and day, my child who went to school and my children who don't go to school, my children who never went to school, they reflect us, okay? My oldest boy does not. That's because of school. And we had a lot of problems in school. I didn't realize how bad. But right now, they are training our children how to live under a police state. You've got to watch this video. It's schools are training our children for a police state, a prison planet. You've got to watch this. We also have Obama explaining the FEMA camps. I just can't believe this stuff. Are we insane? Have we all gone mad? And then we have a poster that was being put out by, I'm not sure who was putting this out. I think it was Homeland Security. And these are some of the target shoots they had up on their posters. What the hell are they doing? People, it's time to get up. We've got to get educated. We've got to stand up, and we've got to defend freedom. We have to defend liberty. We have to defend our Constitution, our Declaration. We have to defend righteousness and justice. We have to defend the Second Amendment. We have to get up. We have to lift up. We have to defend the Continental Congress. There's no more time left. We got to do it. We got to do it now. We have to grow. We got to bring people in. We got to get people to the website. We got to get people educated. We got to get out there and start organizing throughout the state. The saving of our country starts with the saving of our state. That's what we're doing right now. We got to save our state. And as New York goes, so shall the rest of the country. Yeah. If we turn New York on a dime and turn them around and become a republic again, the whole eyes of the country will be on us, and they'll want to emanate exactly what we're doing. Okay? So it's up to us to do it. We're it. This is it. This is it right here. We got to do it. Mic's open, yeah.
Well, I just want to say good night.
Good night, Carl.
Yeah.
Good seeing you. We'll talk.
I'd like to get together with you sometime soon.
Okay. By the way, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this opportunity, give me a minute. I'm just going to end the recording because I don't like the recording much longer than an hour and a half, so give me 1 second.